So let's move over now to Professor. Not very often we get professors in the studio. Kevin McDonald. So how are you, Kevin? Thanks for coming in.
Very well, thanks. Well, thanks for the invitation.
Fantastic. So you're going to be talking to us today about the Farm for More project. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So this is a LIFE project, which was funded by the European Commission and also co-funded by Gerry's department. And what it's doing is it's looking to see, can we produce proteins from grass? Now, we're very good at growing grass in Ireland, but we're short in protein for animal feed. So we import an awful lot of protein, and that has quite a high environmental footprint associated with it and greenhouse gas footprint associated with it. And when animals digest that imported protein, they can have reasonably high greenhouse gas emissions associated with it as well. So our plan is to use grass, put it through a biorefinery, and really what we're doing is we're cutting the grass, we're baling it up as you would see the normal round bales of silage throughout the year, and now's the time people are making silage. We let it ferment for about somewhere between 60 and 90 days. And then we open up that bale and we press it. And then we rebale it subsequently. And the liquid that we get out has amino acids and organic acids associated with it. And we can use those as a protein feed. Now, the grass that's left behind, the pressed grass, that's a really valuable grass feed as well. So we carry on, we use that for ruminants, so for cows to eat and digest. And we've shown that it's a really good feed substrate for them. And it has a lower loss of nitrogen and phosphorus to the environment because, you know, we've kind of stripped some of the nitrogen and phosphorus out of it. So there's less losses. The liquid that we take out, we can build proteins from that. So we can build proteins that we can feed to chickens and to pigs.
Wow.
And they can't eat grass. So to be able to take a protein extract from grass and use it as a substitute for soybean from South America, that means we really reduce the carbon footprint of our food production. So that's a really big part of the climate mitigation measures associated with LIFE, because LIFE, as Gerry said, is an environmental project. So we're looking to see how we reduce the carbon footprint of producing our food in Ireland.
Wow, that's crazy. It's like, you know, just incredible. So, I mean, how long has the project been in existence?
So we started around about June 2019 and hit COVID, as did most projects. We were supposed to finish in June 23, but we applied for a one-year extension to June 24 to allow us to make up for some lost time. So we've been having lots of conversations with the Commission and lots of conversations with Gerry's department saying, like, we're a bit behind on this part of it because we couldn't recruit people. Mm. We'd issues procuring equipment, just buying equipment. There were such long delays in getting equipment that we had to reschedule some of the research. So the idea is that we will finish by June 24. We're on track. We've recently just completed a review with the Commission last week with our partners, our main partners in Austria. And we've recently completed that. And the Commission's really pleased with where we are. And they're very happy with what we're doing with it. So we're back on track. And we should aim to complete in about June 24.
It's incredible, you know, just like we were saying earlier before we started the programme, that there's all these amazing things that, like, the layperson would never even, you know, in your wildest dreams, you couldn't imagine that these things are going on.
Well, I suppose a lot of the drivers from this have come from the need to be more sustainable about our food. Now, that's, I suppose, been brought into focus an awful lot, both through COVID, but also through the issues in Ukraine, where we're, I suppose, a lot more concerned about our food chains and, you know, the distance food is travelling.
Yeah.
So if we can look to shorten some of those chains and make them more sustainable and more robust, that's what we're trying to do. And by doing that, we can reduce the greenhouse gas emissions associated with it. So we're taking this grass to the biorefinery, and this has given us really novel new products coming out of it. A little bit experimental in that stage, but it's scalable. So our plan is at the end of the project, and we're currently building the plant at the moment, we'll be producing about 25 tons of amino acids that will go as the building blocks for pig and poultry diets. So we've done the cattle diets. Some of them are finished and have shown really good trials. Some of them are still ongoing at the moment. And we're doing the pig and poultry trials coming up next. So it's kind of interesting, but I guess it's a lot of focus for people's minds at the moment is, you know, where is our food coming from and how sustainable is it? Mm. So being able to reduce the carbon emissions or the greenhouse gas emissions, that's a really important part of the LIFE projects.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, in recent years, I suppose there's been a lot of people going towards veganism, vegetarianism and things. So, you know, this could be a...
Yeah, but what we're doing is, like, as humans, we tend to need animal-based proteins, whether that's as milk or as meat,
different
because
forms.
They contain all the nutrients that we need, and they're also what we would call complete nutrients, like they're complete proteins.
Mm.
So they give us all the minerals, the vitamins, the amino acids, the profiles that we need.
Yeah.
If we eat plants, they're not complete proteins.
No, exactly.
So we don't get the full diet, so therefore we have to supplement our diets with additional minerals and vitamins and so forth. But if we feed the plants, plant proteins to animals, they can digest it and they can produce the meat proteins that we need. So there's absolutely been a huge interest in more plant-based diets. But we need to see how do we actually get the proteins, the amino acids that we need to grow and sustain ourselves.
Yeah,
we, whether you're talking about young children growing and putting on body mass and tissues and building their tissues and building their skeleton systems, or whether it's older people repairing damage and so forth, we kind of need the complete proteins, the intact proteins to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And our bodies are designed to digest the meat proteins and the animal proteins, sorry, whether it's in milk or in meat. So the vegetable-based proteins, they absolutely have a role, but looking how we could supplement them and looking at how we can extract additional amino acids from them, that's going to be one part of this project as well.
Yeah, yeah. So what's your role within the project? How are you? Are you dry? Are you there at the wheel?
So I'm in the firing line, I suppose, is the main thing. So I'm coordinating it. So we coordinated between ourselves in UCD and our partners in Austria. We have a couple of partners in Austria and we have a couple of other partners in Ireland. We're working with Bantry Marine as well, looking at seaweed extracts as well as part of the protein sources as well. And my role is to basically make sure we deliver what we said we would do. So we have a good team here in Ireland. We've a couple of postdocs. We've one senior postdoc, Joe Sweeney, who's doing a lot of the work on this. And we have a couple of PhDs here. Mm-hmm. And we've PhDs in the other countries as well. So collectively, we're managing this project. I get to try and make sure that we stay on track, that we meet our budgets. And when we have issues, tell Jerry about it. And to be honest with you, the department has been really helpful when we've had to make adjustments to budgets and adjustments to timelines. And I guess part of it is the understanding that, you know, research doesn't always go to schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, best laid plans, you think this will happen, it doesn't always work out. So we've had to adjust things. And we've had lots of conversations with Jerry and his team about, like, can we reschedule this? Can we change the sequence in which we're doing this? Because this part B is actually going ahead of part A. Is that okay? And can we come back to you on that part? So I suppose that's part of my role, is to make sure we stay on track with the project and stay on track with our deliverables.
Yeah, I think, I suppose it's like when you start, you'd never really know what your end, you know, what's going to happen at the very, very end. And it's just, you know, you're just kind of picking things up as you go. And, you know, obviously with COVID and stuff, it just kind of threw a big spanner into a lot of projects.
You tend to have a pretty good vision of where you want to be. Because as Jerry's saying, it's a competitive process.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you apply for funding, as Jerry said, there's hundreds of applications go in. So you've really got to be able to map out what you can deliver and the scale of what you can deliver. The tricky part is that with the best knowledge, best science, you might think you'll get a 12% or an 18% improvement, but you might only be 6% or an 8%.
Mm.
So part of it is trying to manage the expectations of all the parties involved to say, actually, yeah, you know, based on what we knew and based on the literature, we think we're going the right direction and this is the map of where we're going to be and this is our expected outputs. We thought we'd get 12, it's 10% of a benefit instead, and how we manage those expectations. But we do have a good plan of kind of where we're going.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely, COVID has made us adjust it and required adjustments to it along the way. But we've pretty much stayed on track with where we are, albeit maybe running maybe 6 or 8 months behind where we should be.
Yeah, as long as you get there.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's the main point, isn't
it? Absolutely.
So what's the size of your team? How many people have you got working on this at the moment?
On this project, we would have in Ireland, we probably have about 11 people across the different institutes. And in Austria, which is the main partner, there's probably about another 12.
Yeah.
And they're split across different organisations. So in UCD, we would have 3 PhDs, a postdoc fellow and myself. And then we have it in the different institutes as well, working on their different projects as well. So it's a good team.
Yeah.
Zoom has been great. We've been able to catch up with everybody all the time. So we'd have weekly Zoom meetings, making sure everything's on track. And then, as I said, last week, we had a full partners meeting. It was the first time we've been able to have the face-to-face meeting with all of our partners and make sure everybody was up to speed with what we're doing, with the adjustments to the budgets. So it's been good. But, like, I mean, you talked about the funding. Like, all of our team are fully funded by research projects. So I have 11 PhDs on research projects. all of them are funded by individual projects. So half them from EU funding, not necessarily this one, but other projects, half them from national funding. So funding is critical to us. We just, as a university, can't survive without our research funding. It's what drives the energy and the activity that goes on in the research side of it. And it drives the innovation for us as well. So being involved in LIFE projects or European projects, it really is critical to us in the university.
Yeah. No, it must be great to have, you know, these Jerry and these guys that are able to advise you. You know, if you've got any questions, there's that contact point that you can go to get any information.
No, absolutely. It's been super, particularly the application stage. And to anybody else out there who's thinking about it, you know, you've got to get forward early and engage early, because Jerry and his team, particularly on the budget side of it and how the accounting would work for it, they were really great for us in doing that, because we structured the research side of it and we knew where we were going with that. But making sure we had the right costs and the allocations to the costs and, you know, associated with the various different deliverables, that was where we really needed the help and the advice. So yeah, it's been great to get the guidance from Jerry and his team on how we could do that, so to make sure the project was successful to be considered for funding when it went in.
Yeah, I mean, could the project have could it exist without this EU help? No. From EU funding?
No, not at all, not even slightly, because every part of it is associated with research funding. So the partners themselves are putting in a proportion of the money, but the vast majority comes from the European Commission and Jerry's department as well. So it could not exist. It would never have seen the light of day without the support of the department and the support of the European Union.
Yeah. No, as I said, it's amazing. You know, you don't realise about all this hard work that's going on with you guys putting all these things together.
Yeah, just
for the benefit of us all.
Sure, and it's a really competitive process. So for every project you put in, you might have 8 that are unsuccessful.
Yeah.
So it's a treadmill. You keep putting them in and you keep trying it and you get the support from Jerry, and you've got to make sure you're well aligned. I mean, that's what Jerry referred to as well. You've got to be aligned with European policy and with national policy as well, because the research has to be supportive. And particularly with LIFE, it has to be able to demonstrate an outcome. So you've got to be close to market. You've got to be able to build something. Yeah. We will have a tangible plant, a biorefinery built at the end of this, producing these amino acids.
Yeah.
So that's the outcome.
Yeah. So, I mean, was it a long process initially from you having the initial spark of an idea to it actually beginning?
Oh, absolutely. It does take quite a while. I suppose having submission deadlines, as in timelines when you need to have when the call is out and you have a deadline that you need to submit it by, that focuses the mind. And even if you start 12 months in advance, you know, it's still the day before you get all the pieces of the puzzle together to get them in, because you're back and forth, you're changing, you're editing. But it is a long process. So if you have 8, 9 or 10 of these on the go at any one point in time, you've got to make sure you manage your timelines correctly, because the calls, when they come up, they are competitive, and it's really important that you're well aligned to the call. If you're not aligned this year, you should be aligned for next year. So it's really about that forward planning for it. But it's a great opportunity. I mean, you get to meet the partners across Europe.
Yeah.
You know, you meet people in other countries, and, you know, it's the same problems they're dealing with, just from a completely different angle and a different maybe regulatory point of view as well. But you get to share ideas and you get to meet other people and say, okay, that's pretty good. We could try that at home, or vice versa. Look, we've solved this problem. Maybe you guys could try this solution as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's amazing to have this kind of a fountain of knowledge, I suppose, to go to, because nobody knows really, do they? Going into, you know, getting funding and advice from things, nobody's going to go in and say, oh, I know how to do this. You know,
yeah, it is complex. Dealing with the European Union is complex. There's a lot of bureaucracy. There's a lot of structure associated with it. And it takes experience. So you need to try a few different types of projects before you get to a point where you'll have a few successful ones. So the networks, the partnerships, building those relationships, that's really important. So anybody who's starting out, you've got to know who your partners are. You've got to know, you know, what their alignment is with European policy. But there's quite a strong network out there. There's quite a strong advisory network out there to help universities and industries build linkages. They have these networking events to allow you to, you know, build these relationships and to see, okay, well, I could work with that company. We have a lot of companies that we work with, and, you know, some are partners in LIFE projects and some are partners in other projects. But you need to build those relationships. But there is a lot of help out there. You just have to look for it and get in contact with the relevant authorities. And as you like Jerry and his team, they're really helpful. They'll tell you if you're on the right track or if you're on the wrong track. Maybe you should be going to a different project or a different call. That's really important as well, to know that actually, hang on, LIFE isn't for me. It's a different area I should be in.
Yeah.
So
that's
really useful as well.
Yeah. There you go, Jerry. And you're getting a bit of feedback as well. It must be nice to get that feedback and, you know, hear firsthand.
Absolutely. Yes, it is. And just to say, in case I forget to say it, that we're having an information day for LIFE on the 2nd of June. So in the morning on the 2nd of June, if you go on our website, you can register for that. So you know, that's key for us in bringing information to people. We'll have somebody from the commission on there. We'll have people from other life projects who've been successful and can share their experience and knowledge with people. And that's the beginning of the process, perhaps, for some groups. And
yeah, yeah.
And as Kevin was saying, it is a process, and you need to enter into it. But once you do it, you know, and you're successful, and you're driving forward a project like Kevin has been describing, then it's great, and it's a win for everybody. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. And it's really important for Ireland as well that we draw down the European funding that's available to us, you know, that we understand that it's there. It's made available directly, centrally, in this case, from the Commission. And it's really important that we engage with that. And our job is to facilitate, project applicants to do that, and to do that as successfully as we can possibly do.
Yeah.